Okay, we are really, really excited to be back with you guys. I don't know if you are, but we are. we've been here 3 out of the last 4 years, is that right? 3 out of the last 5 years. How many of you have heard us before? I just got to get an idea.
Oh, no.
All right, so we might as well leave now.
People.
We have nothing new to share with you. You've heard all our stuff.
Maybe they'll be in a new place, though.
Yeah, they're in a different place. Jim back there told me, you know what he said to me, honey?
Oh, no.
This time, catcher.
Oh, no.
All right. We're not going to tell that story till Sunday, if that's all right with you. But those of you who don't know that story, don't leave, because if we have anything good all weekend, it's that story, right? It's the only thing good. And really, the only thing you need to know about Dave and Ann Wilson, if you're new, is what would it be? We're married
31 years.
31 years. Three sons, two of them married already, and one in college playing college football. And we just visited our middle son. He just got his first job down in Orlando, so we drove there. We're on a road trip right now. We spoke in Charlotte last weekend, and usually we fly in, fly out, fly down here, fly out. My wife says, let's drive. I'm like,
road trip?
To Charlotte? She's like, we're empty nesters now. We can do whatever we want. You know, we got a couple weeks off from church because I'm a pastor. Let's drive. I'm like, it's like 12 hours. She's like, yeah, it'd be fun. I'm like, fun? So we drove to Charlotte. Then she says, hey, we're almost to Orlando. Let's go on down there. I am not kidding.
It's only 9 hours.
GPS'd it. Honey, it's 9 hours. Yeah, it'll be fun. So we drove to Orlando Saturday after we were done speaking in Charlotte, spent 2 days with our son, and met our grandpuppy. We are grandparents of a puppy right now. And then drove to Atlanta, or actually Chattanooga, just Dalton, Georgia, where her parents live. And we've been working the last 3 days. They're both in their 80s, and they had a list of things they wanted their grandkids to come help them do. So
kids.
We were painting last night. Yeah, kids.
Yeah.
Last night and this morning, and I refurbished a hot tub and jumped in it without no heater on yesterday. So anyway, you don't need to know all that, but we are on the tail end of that trip, and we've had a blast.
I am still
in love with this woman. It's amazing. She is the greatest.
You are.
Yeah, whatever. And that's not what we're going to do the whole time. Like, you are. You are. Oh, you're so... But really, all you need to know is I am still a high school football coach. I've coached the last 8 years, and I know many of you are coaches, so I know your life. My wife always says I have 4 jobs. I'm pastor in a church, which is really a big church, and I coach high school football in the Detroit Lions Chaplain, and we go, like on our weekends in the fall, you guys relate to this. Friday night, I'm coaching, helping call plays. I'm the old quarterback, so I'm quarterback coach. Saturdays, we're flying to wherever or driving to wherever our son's playing. He plays at Central Michigan. They've been all around the country. And then I get on a plane from that stadium and fly and meet the Lions wherever they are. If they're home, I go home. If they're on the road, I meet them on the road, and we do chapel Sunday morning. I jump on a plane after we lose and fly back to Detroit. Yeah, I got you, Ken. Go ahead, man. By the way, you might not have noticed, but right now we're 4-0. We won our last 4 games last year, and we got a Monday night game this year. So we're ready to go. So, but anyway, that's all you need to know about us is we met, and we'll tell you our story later, but sort of in high school. Her dad, who I was just with, was my baseball coach. Her brother was my center in our football team. So we knew each other's families, and we fell passionately in love. Anybody ever been there? Anybody still there?
And it was quick.
Yeah, I mean.
Married within 9 months.
Don't tell them this. When I think of Ann, I think of this song. All right? I'm an old rocker from back in the 60s and 70s. Anybody from the 60s and 70s? Yeah? Yeah,
It's good to be old, isn't it?
I grew up on this stuff. In fact, the first time I ever learned to play guitar was... You guys know that one? Little Beatles stuff, right? And so am I on? Do I need to do anything?
You're on.
I'm on, good? Yeah. I need it loud. I need distortion. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, I grew up in a rock band playing... Anybody know that? Or how about, any Boston fans?
Wait, I thought this was like my time.
Well, we're just having a little bit of fun. I was also, you know, those were my bands growing up. But when I think of Ann, this romantic song just comes to my mind. You know what? Girl, you really got me now. You got me so I don't know what. Come on. A little more worship, girl. You really got me now. You got me so I can't see that night. Anyway, all right, so that's it. All right, we're done.
Yeah.
We're done. We're done. Gwen, I threw your pick on the floor, and I don't know where it went. It's red. Oh, well, I've got a heavy here if you want that. There you go. You can't have my seat. I'm back here. So, but yeah, that's all you got to know. We fell like that song. I mean, literally, she walked into the gym. I was going into my senior year in college. She was going into her freshman year in college, and I saw her across the gym. And it was like, girl, you really, I mean, it was. It was like, you think I'm kidding? I'm not kidding. The Kinks wrote that song for me. That was like, wow. Because, you know, when I went off to college, she was like this little tomboy running around chasing foul balls of her brothers, you know. And then when I came back and I saw her as a woman, you know, it was like, wow. And so we got married. Like 3 days? No. We got married. It was pretty quick.
9 months later.
Yeah. Not because we had to, because of 9 months, but I know how you're thinking, yeah. Did they have to, honey? No. We're starting out pretty high right now. But here's what happened, and maybe this has happened to you. If it hasn't, it probably will. We got married, and 6 months into our marriage, we were in trouble. I mean, we didn't like each other. I mean, we couldn't believe that it was that hard. Anybody there? You can't put your hand up. Just keep it down. But, I mean, because you put it up and your wife doesn't know. You're like, what are you doing? But that's what, it, I mean, we were really sick. I mean, 2 weeks before we got married, we went to the Family Life Marriage Conference called the Weekend to Remember Now. We now speak for that conference. 26 years, I think.
Were so naive. We really sat there and thought, these people have to go to a marriage conference to figure out marriage. How hard can it be? Like, we will be great at this.
Yeah, we did. We thought, we love each other. We love Jesus. I'm so good looking. I mean, it was like, really? We did. We just looked at people taking notes like, really? You got to learn how to resolve conflict? And there's a session on sex. We're like, come on. You got to read about this? You got to be kidding. We did. We really did. We came out of there so prideful, like, we will not struggle like all of them. And 6 months later, really about 6 hours later after we got married, it was just like, wow. It was really hard. So all I got to say is 31 years later, I already said it, I'm more in love with her today than our wedding day. And on our wedding day, I couldn't have been more in love. And if you told me you'll love her more in 31 years, saying it's not possible. I love her so much now, there's no way. But we don't love each other 31 years later because it was easy.
And the amazing thing is 6 months into our marriage, we honestly and truly, I remember sitting before God thinking, God, I have made the biggest mistake of my life. This was not the man you wanted me to marry. He's out there somewhere, and he is not, Dave Wilson is not the man. And I really, I don't know if you guys have ever been there, or maybe you're there now where you think, I made the biggest mistake of my life. And yeah. Now I look and think, if I wouldn't have stayed with him, it would have been such a mistake, because we've had such a joy.
Yeah, we have. And it's been an unbelievable challenge and joy to raise three warriors for Christ. It's really been the joy of our life to watch these young men stand for Christ. So anyway, we're not here to do a parenting weekend. We're here to talk about marriage. But here's all we're going to do. We got four sessions with you tonight, two tomorrow, and then one on Sunday morning. And in between, we're going to break up tomorrow, right after lunch, I think it is, men with me and Ann with women with Ann. So we've got four messages that I'm going to tell you right now. If you're going to take any notes, they're really one talk with 4 points. The first point's tonight, all right? It's really point number one of a four-part message. That's sort of how I do series at our church, and it's just the way to think. So we're going to talk about the needs of men tonight. Tomorrow morning, the needs of women. I know women are like, why am I second? Because if we talked about you tonight, your husband wouldn't come back tomorrow. So we're going to... It's true. It really is. That's how we do church, too. It's like we go for the man, and the woman loves it. So anyway, we're going for the man tonight. Tomorrow's... talk about the top needs of a woman. Then tomorrow night, we're going to talk about this little thing called sex. You guys ready to go there? Not yet. Okay. And then Sunday morning, sort of a commissioning as we walk out of here. So I know you know the answer to this, especially if you've been here before, but let me just check this group to see what you know about men. Ladies, what is the number one need of men, generally?
Yes.
Oh, look at this. They know.
Right. They remember.
Most women say sex, and that's number two, maybe, right? But yeah, it really is respect. And I know a couple years ago or 3 years ago, we talked a little bit about this, but I don't know if we went as far as we're going to go tonight on this topic. So Let me talk to you about a passage in Scripture that I love. I love this book, the book of Ephesians. And many of you know this book, and you probably know Ephesians chapter 5. But let me just give you a quick glance at Ephesians. And trust me, to try and get this done by 8:25, I don't want to take a lot of time, although I'd love to, because I have a seminary degree, and I love the Word of God. As Gwen was talking about, I love the Word of God. The book of Ephesians, I love, because it's the way I like to preach. There's three chapters of theology and three chapters of application. You know that, right? There's six chapters. Everybody ever ask you a question about Ephesians? Now you know. Three theology, and then how do you live it? It's like, what do we need to know? What do we need to do? And so, based on what Paul has taught us in the first three chapters about who God is, who we are, what he has done, where we stand in Christ, our position in Christ, he then goes into chapter 4, 5, and 6 and talks about, okay, if this is all true, if this is who God is, and I and we are a son and daughter of him, and we have been saved from wrath, and we are now in Christ, sort of the theme of the book, what should that look like in our life? And one of the passages that he gets into marriage. In Ephesians chapter 5. And I'm going to go to the end of the chapter, but I want to start at the first verse because I think he says something that sort of sets the theme for where we're going to be all weekend. In Ephesians 5:1, oh, they gave me a little PowerPoint thing. Let's see if this thing works. Where do I point it, Jonathan? Does it matter? Hey, it worked back there. Uh-oh, I went too far. Uh-oh, right there. There we go. All right, good. I've never done this before. It's pretty fun. A man with a remote. Look out. Yeah, in Ephesians 5:1, Paul says, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. The word imitate means to mimic God. It's really what it means in the actual Greek. It says, mimic God. What's he saying? If you're a follower of Christ, our life should look like, should mimic what Christ looks like, what God looks like. People should be able to look at you, look at me, and say, okay, I have a glimpse of what God looks like by the way they live. Let me ask you, do you think the non-church world thinks that? I don't think so. They look at our marriages, they look at our lifestyle, they listen to our language, they look how much money we give, and they say, I don't see much different. I really don't. I never saw a difference in Christians when I was growing up. I didn't become a Christian until my junior year in college, and I can blame other people. It's my fault, but I never saw somebody except one guy who mimicked God. I didn't even know the Bible said you're supposed to do that. By the way, you and I can't do that, right? Except for the power of God. But he says, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. You jump down 17 verses, and you find out, how do you do this? Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with, capital S, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. There is no way you and I can mimic God. There's no way our marriages can look like a godly marriage or look anything like the Trinity or look anything like a holy God unless we have the power of God in us to make us the men and women we need to be. There's no chance. We would not be sitting here 31 years after our wedding day if we did not allow God to make our marriage what he wants to make it. And it's really hard, even with God's power. Really, really hard because she messes up all the time and it's hard to live with her. No, we both do because we're just like you. We are sinners. We are wicked sinners. I mean, sort of wicked. I mean, our hearts are wretched. And so we're so selfish. And the only way we can live this is to not be drunk on wine, which is an amazing analogy. Why does he say, don't be drunk with wine? And I've had people say to me, you know, even the public school I coach at, it's like, hey, coach, so it's okay to drink beer, you just can't drink wine. That's what the Bible says. Like, no, that's not what it's about. It's about what happens when you're drunk with wine. What controls you? Alcohol controls you. He said, don't be controlled by alcohol. Be controlled by the Spirit of God. In other words, don't drink the spirits, drink the Spirit. Be drunk with the Spirit of God. And what will happen? He goes in this whole list. And part of what he says will happen to any person who is filled with the Holy Spirit. If there was a theme for the weekend, that's really it. You have no chance, I have no chance, without God being in control of our life. We submit our life. We submit our relationship to God. And he says, there will be some fruit. You don't grunt that fruit out. You sink your roots into the vine. And because you are a follower of Christ, you produce Christ-like fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. You know that in Galatians 5. But he goes on in chapter 5, and he says, this is part of what it will look like. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. Now, that's tomorrow morning. Guys, fasten your seatbelt. We're going to talk about that tomorrow morning. Tonight, we're going to talk about verse 31 through 33. For this reason, A man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Now, many of you probably read Emerson Eggerich's book, classic book on love and respect, taken from one Bible verse, Ephesians 5:33. It tells the men to love their wives. It tells the women to what? What you said was their number one need? Paul, inspired, I believe, by the Holy Spirit, I believe this is God writing these words, says men's need is respect, women's need is love. Now, do men need to be loved? Yeah, sort of. But they really need, I mean, I'm underplaying that, but men really need to be respected, women need really to be loved. So we'll talk about women tomorrow morning. Let's talk about respect tonight.
Well, this for us was a really big deal because I felt like I did respect Dave, felt like he was great. But I just felt like there were some things in him that just needed to be fixed. And I felt like God put me in his life to be that little fixer. And I honestly, I promise you that my intent was not to harm him. My intent was truly to help him. And I felt like he has the Holy Spirit and me. And sometimes the Holy Spirit, he couldn't hear, but he could hear my mouth speaking, and he could hear me.
Hey, this is totally true, too, from her perspective.
And so Dave and I were out speaking one time at a MOPS group at our church, Mothers of Preschoolers.
I mean, like 25 years ago. Our kids were little.
Yeah, they were little. And I thought, this is great. We'll go speak. And they wanted a guy's perspective. And so Dave's like, yeah, I'd love to talk to these women. And so as he started speaking, he started sharing some things I had never heard before.
And by the way, sometimes this happens. We don't talk about what we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
And so I'm telling this thing, and she's looking at me like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, I'm like, oh,
like,
this,
just wait.
Wow, this is new. This is okay. This is good. And so he starts saying, ladies, I don't even know if you realize this, but we as boys, like little boys, we long to be cheered for. We long for someone to applaud for us. And most of us, those little boys, get that from a mom, from a coach, from somewhere. Like, yes, yes, you good job, good job. And then we get older, we kind of find our niche of what we're good at. And we go into this field of whatever it is, and we usually have somebody saying, yay, yay, Dave Wilson, good job.
You are the man.
That's exactly.
Right, guys? That's what we want to hear.
You are the man. So, and Dave sharing, it's like, oh, yeah, that's good. That's really good. He said, and then we get into college or whatever, and I played football. So every Saturday, I had the stands cheering for
hundreds of thousands of people came to Ball State football
games. Dave Wilson, you're the man. You are the man. And I'm like, yeah, that's true. I was there at those games. He said, and then we find the woman of our dreams. And she's like, I choose you out of everybody. And you're cheering for us. Yes, yes. And I'm like, yeah, that's me. That's good. And he says, and then we marry you. And we walk in the door, and this is what we hear. You're here? Boo! Boo! And I'm sitting there. I had never heard this. I'm like, oh, my gosh. He's like, yeah, this isn't. He's like, and that's what we feel like. And I'm sitting there like, oh, my gosh. First time I ever heard it, it was like, I mean, the Holy Spirit. I couldn't even talk. I was just like, are you kidding me? And so we
had and I thought she knew this because I thought she knew how I felt often when I come in the door. Of course, why would I think she knew this? Because I've never told her.
He's never told me.
Like most guys.
All he would do is he would get quiet, just totally quiet. Like, what is your problem? So I start being the Holy Spirit even better and talking more. And all he hears is booing. And so I'm not kidding. It was like God did this surgery. And here the whole time was that we in this part of our relationship, I felt like I am so much better at this relationship stuff than he is. I wish he would just get a clue of how to make this relationship good. He's quiet.
I heard that one too.
He's quiet and he's moody. And I was thinking it's all him. And when God did this, I felt like he totally began to do some work on me. It's like, get your eyes off of him and start looking at yourself. And I came up with this illustration that I thought, I hope that women could see this illustration and understand maybe what you've done, but it was clearly what I had been doing to Dave. And some of you might remember this. Dave, do you have the...
Yeah, they're back there.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll grab.
So it's almost like these plants are going to illustrate men. And as little girls, we can't wait to find the man of our dreams. And we, you know, these guys are the men in the men that are out there, and we go searching for our husband. We're like, oh yeah, this one looks good. Yeah. Oh, this one's even tall. Oh, this one has a lot of hair.
We just bought these at Home Depot, by the way.
Yeah.
On the way over.
And so out of all the plants or men in the world, this is the one we choose. Like, I choose you. You are the man. Yes, you are it. Nobody else even compares to you. And then we get married and we start living with this person. We're like, wow, I had no idea he was like this. He has these weaknesses. And we see these little brown branches like, oh, you know what, honey? I see these things, and I never realized this about you, and God put me in your life to help you. Because you used to be romantic and a great communicator. Now you walk in the door, and all you do is watch ESPN. And you used to be kind of romantic, and now the only time you touch me is if you want to have sex. And so I'm here to help you get rid of these brown leaves. And, you know, after you start seeing some of these and you're telling him about it, you're like, okay, this isn't even doing any good. He doesn't even hear what I'm saying. I need something a little more powerful.
Here we go,
and
honey.
And so we think I have been input in his life for sure by God's doing, and I am here to help you. So let me help you, because you're a terrible communicator. You don't pray. You don't lead spiritually. You all you do is watch TV, play video games, and then you can talk to your friends or your coaches on the phone for hours, and I say, what's going on? You say, nothing, and I need you. Meet my needs. So then we're like, it's not even doing any good. Why can't you be more like Les Steckel? Look at him. Huh? Look at him.
And what we're thinking, actually.
And this is all we're left with. And so I'm telling you, this, without even realizing it, was what I had done to Dave. And the sad thing was, is he would go out somewhere else, and people were still cheering him. And he would walk in the house, and all he heard was, boo. And the first time I did this at our church, this guy.
Here, Les, you want this?
This guy was sitting in our church, and this couple just sat there. Everybody else was gone, and I went
up to
them.
You're all clean up, honey. Just keep talking. Go ahead. Don't mind me.
Hey, and you're doing a good job.
We're getting rid of this guy.
Oh!
Oh no! Oh no! Yeah. Now you know why she booed. Right there it is.
And this this guy and his wife were sitting in at church, and I said, "So what's going on? Are you guys okay?" And tears were streaming down this guy's face, and all he said was, "That plant is me. I've never been able to communicate it. That's what I feel like." And she was crying. She had no idea. No idea. And honestly, guys, we, as your wives, we don't mean to harm you. We really, our intent has been to help. But for me, it ended up being that the more I would cut Dave and boo him, the more withdrawn, quiet, moody, and the more he would leave the house and didn't want to be around.
Yeah, men always go where they're respected. You will find a man wherever he feels respected. It's his need. It's his craving. He may not even know it. If he's at the bar too much, I'll tell you why. He feels like a man there. If he's playing softball and he should be home taking care of his, he feels like this has happened. Somebody's doing this, and if he doesn't feel it at home, often they go other places. And actually, in my life, there were sort of two symptoms that Ann started to pick up on. And by the way, I didn't even know this was going on until years. It's like, oh my gosh, this is what I feel. And then I had to communicate it to her after that MOPS speaking deal. Like, we had a long drive home. But I'm seriously, we did. It's like, what in the world were you talking about? Well, okay, so we went there. But here's what my symptoms were. And it's sort of true for most men. You either do one of two things when you feel disrespected. You withdraw, which I did. I sort of got quiet or just pulled away, and she was begging me to engage, and I didn't know why, but I didn't want to. The other sort of symptom of disrespect for men is anger. It's one or the other. When women feel unloved, which we're going to talk tomorrow morning, you often see emotional hurt, sometimes tears. When men feel disrespected, you often see anger. It's like a symptom. That, it isn't always true, but it was definitely true in our house and in mine. And as Emerson says in his book, the couples go into what he calls the crazy cycle. If a man is unloving to his wife and she feels unloved, she responds in disrespectful ways, and he responds unloving, and you just get in this crazy cycle. And that's the cycle we're in, never knowing what it was, but that's where we were. So here's all we're going to do in the last few moments we have with you is just give you two ways. And this is really for the women, and I hope men are going, yep, that's true. And there's a lot more than two, but two ways. No, I mean, we only have time for two. Two ways to cheer your man. Because, you know, when we talk about this around the country, we, Ann sometimes brings a pom-pom little thing and goes, you know, what your man is looking for is a cheerleader. I mean, he is longing for his woman to be the biggest cheerleader in his life. And I always say this, and I'm sort of kidding, but if ladies, if your husband came home one day and you were wearing a cheerleader outfit, that'd even be better. So anyway, that'd be awesome. It would.
You're really not even kidding about that.
I'm not kidding, really. Hint, hint. It's been a while. So anyway, it's true. We brought some DVDs that you can buy if you want down the bookstore. And
okay, that
no, I'm not kidding.
That didn't even go together.
No, I'm just saying. We don't. No, we could.
Not me in a cheerleading outfit.
That's right. That's what it sounded like. Yeah. No, here's what I meant.
You're actually red.
Oh my gosh. No, we can't get anybody to publish a book, so we have DVDs of us doing this illustration and giving these talks, and so we sell those when we go. And this guy came up to me once and said, instead of selling DVDs, you should sell cheerleading outfits at your table. I'm like, that's not going to happen. So anyway, that's where my brain was going, okay? Two ways to cheer your man. First one is this, cheer who he is. Let's see if I got that in PowerPoint. I think I do. Two ways to cheer your man, cheer who he is. Simply is this, men and women are different, right? You know that, right? In fact, in Genesis 1:27, you've read this before. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. God is the author of the difference between men and women. Physically, we're different, right? I read one statistic said 8 out of 10 times you can tell a man from a woman physically. So that's what it actually said. I'm like, what? But what we're talking about is we are just wired, right, differently. And that doesn't mean all men are this way and all women are this way, but generally there's some generalities that are true. In fact, I asked Ann, last week I was preaching at our church, we did a series called Man Up, and we're talking about what it means to be a man. And I asked her if we had any Barbies in our house, because, you know, we raise boys, so we don't have these in our house. But we had a couple that she found for me. And so I'm literally standing on stage two weekends ago, and I'm starting to do this illustration. I go, okay, so I don't know much about Barbies. I had three sons, but let me. We got Barbie here, right? And the first thing I noticed when I looked at her, I was like, wow. I mean, look at, wow. Anyway, so then I'm like, and we'll call this one Jill. And the audience goes, no. I'm like, what do you mean? You want to call it? It's Skipper. This is Skipper. Did you know that?
Her little sister.
I did not know that. Anyway, so we got Barbie and Skipper. Now, if you would hand these two little girls, what would they do? Men and women are different, right? What would little girls do with these dolls? They would communicate. Hi, how you doing? Oh, nice shorts. Oh, look at those shoes you got. Oh, nice dress. Are you going to the prom? I mean, they would do that. I mean, I'm just guessing, by the way. And you know.
That was actually pretty good.
Is that pretty good, honey?
Yeah.
Like, hey, uh-huh. I've watched women do this a lot. So, you know, they talk. And by the way, you know, I don't, again, have Barbies, but I've noticed this. Have you ever noticed the Ken Barbie, Ken doll, whatever you call him? He owns nothing. You ever notice that? Everything is Barbie's. Barbie's car, Barbie's house, Barbie's pool. Ken is like a freeloader. I mean, what is the message here, right? Anyway, so you go back to Barbie, and they just talk, and they're communicating. What would my boys or any boys do with these dolls?
Rip their arms off.
Yeah, I mean, if you gave them these dolls, and within 30 seconds, they'd be like, that's what would happen, right? Right? Yeah, of course. Men or women are different. And I know you're sitting there, ladies, going, that's the guy I married. That's how he communicates. He can't talk. I mean.
Yeah, our boys would take those little army guys, and they would light them on fire. Like that, you know, guys are just different.
Now, here's why we bring this up. There is a tendency, I think, and Ann can confirm this, that women get married and want to change the man they married. Amen. Just like Ann was showing with the chopping thing, she started to do that. I felt it. And it felt like a bait and switch to me, because it's like, I thought you loved who you got.
Or even liked. Because Dave knew I loved him, and he didn't feel like I liked him. He felt like I didn't like who he was.
Yeah, I would have said, till death do us part, she's in, but she doesn't really like me.
I don't know if she did.
Well, great. So you showed it well. So, but it was really true. It was like I constantly felt critiqued and nagged and challenged about who I was. Now, were there things in my life that needed to change? Yes. I mean, I knew that, and I was hoping, and I was trying to allow God to do that, but when she kept trying to change me, it's almost like, you know, you had a remote control, and on it was a button labeled change, and we do this all the time. It's like, change, change. We pointed at our spouse, change, and I felt that all the time. It's like, you don't talk enough. You're not romantic like you used to be. You don't lead our boys spiritually like I thought you would. You don't lead me spiritually like I mean, I heard that constantly.
And the funny thing is, too, now that I have three sons, and you guys are coaches. I come from a family of coaches. I was a PE major, coached gymnastics. And the thing you learn in sports is you learn how to coach certain individuals. You know what motivates them. And I was just like, kick them in the pants. You know, you tell them, this is the way it is. Dave's a quarterback. He was like, the thing that encourages him is praise. Like, when I see you do this, it's unbelievable. And that would motivate it. And instead, I was just critiquing him all the time, and it was like he lost his energy in the relationship.
And all I know, and I can't tell you what year it was, but it was probably close to that story when Ann heard me say boo, 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 that, like she said, the Holy Spirit started doing something in her, and I never said any more after that. But I can tell you now, and that was probably 6 or 7 years in our marriage. I can tell you now, the last 20 years or so, I actually feel, and I mean this, she couldn't celebrate me more. She cheers who I am. I have some weird idiosyncrasies, whatever that word is, weird characteristics that she used to try and change. And there are areas that need to be changed, and I think God has changed a lot of those,
yeah.
But I really sit here tonight. That was a rousing.
No.
Get the pom-pom out on that one. No, I mean, he has, but I mean, I sit here tonight. I feel from her so much respect. So I'm almost saying to you ladies, you can do this. It's like, God, give me the eyes to see who you made him to be. Now, God will change the things that need to be changed, but there were things about me that she absolutely hated. And 20 years later, she's like, I love that quality. I mean, I'm a crazy guy. I can be pretty spontaneous. And for a while, she was trying to put me in this box. Even like how I led our boys spiritually was not by the book. We didn't have a family devotion at 7 o'clock on Sunday nights. It was more in life training. I would teach the word as they were experiencing things. I call it the Hebrew model. It's a whole long thing. But she just tried to say, you got to do it this way and this way. And I'm like, I think I'm doing it a different way. And now
you
celebrate.
Well, you know what it is we come into marriage with expectations. At first, we just have desires of what our marriage will look like. And then after a while, we have expectations of what our men will be like as husbands, as dads, as followers of Christ. And we have this picture in our head, and if it doesn't look like what we think it should look like, that's when we go about trying to change them. And I had a picture of Dave laying down every night and reading the Bible when I would do that. And I'd feel like, where's the leader? And he had a whole different style of how he led spiritually. And one of the greatest things he did was he was the greatest model that I've ever seen in my life in leading our sons. He just wasn't as verbal as I wanted him to be. And our sons admire him more than any man on the earth. He is their absolute hero. And I believe the reason they're strong is because of Dave's leadership spiritually. Does it look the way I thought it should look? Totally different. But for me, it was like, God, are you in control? Yes. Is it my job to change him? No. I give him to you, and I surrender him to you.
Here's the second one. Cheer what he does. Oh, I already said that. Cheer what he does. Cheer who he is. cheer what he does. One of the great books we read, maybe you've seen it, a little book by Shanti Feldhahn called...
For Women Only.
For Women Only, and it's about your man. And actually, it's for women to read about how men are. And I picked it up because Ann was given that book, and I'm like, what is ain't good? What does Shanti know about men? And what she did is she surveyed 3,000 men, and she basically says, here's what I learned. I read that thing in like a day, and I'm like, you read this book, and you read this book now, because this is what makes me tick. This is, I'm the guy in this book, and I think a lot of men are. And one of the things she discovered in there is men said this, I wish my wife would respect my knowledge and my abilities. I just say it this way, cheer what he does. Your man is good at something. It's one of the reasons you married him. You may have lost sight of that. Because that's what happens when you get married. You see all the strengths before, and you see all the weaknesses after.
And I honestly have had women come up to me after some talks and said, there is nothing to cheer about. There is nothing to cheer about.
They mean it. They really do mean it.
No, there's no laughter. And I said, you married him. There must have been something in him that you admired. She said, I was wrong. There is nothing. And so I said, you have to go back to what you saw. And it's amazing how when she kind of would go back and see that and applaud that and cheer for that, how it started to rise back up in him.
I wrote down a couple things that I read in the book because it so resonated with what I've heard men say and what I felt. She said, men long for the women in their life to defer to them sometimes.
What's that mean?
Defer to me. My opinion, my knowledge about this is pretty good. Defer. Don't say, that's stupid. I'm going to do it. Defer. Several men confessed that they felt like their opinions and decisions were actively valued in every area of their lives except at home. They felt like their colleagues at work trusted their judgment more than their wife did. Often a man feels like his wife orders him around just like one of the kids. One thing men said they would like to tell their wives is show more trust in my decision-making abilities, which is code for I'm not stupid. You ever watch how men get bashed on TV shows? Man, I laugh just like you do, but it's like, look, the guy's an idiot again. And it's just like, isn't it interesting how we take that into our homes and our men feel stupid or disrespected because, and the other area is just in their abilities. Men love to, I know this drives women crazy, figure things out themselves. We do. There's something about the adventure. There's something about, that's why we don't want to stop and act directions. I know it's ridiculous, but there's like something about, I can do this. And women so want to take that out of our hands and play safe all the time. When a man was made wild at heart, there's a part of us that God said, I want you to live
an adventure. And it is so hard. We can be driving somewhere, and I'll be like, I've been there 6 times. This is how you get here. He still has to have his phone in his hand to see for himself where to go.
I know, it's stupid and arrogant. Let me do it. So, and I'll tell you one quick one. I had a buddy coming into town for a Lions weekend, and I had booked a hotel room for he and a couple of rooms. And as he got to the hotel, he called me and said, Dave, they don't have a room for me. I'm like, oh, yeah, they do. I'll call the front desk. And so I called the front desk, and I'm talking to the girl, and she's like, no, I'm sorry, sir, we don't have that. I'm like, I know you had this. While this conversation is going, it's back in the days with the corded phone, I'm walking around the kitchen, and Ann starts coming in the room. She hears what's going on, and she literally starts following me around. Give me the phone. Give me the phone. I'm like, honey, I got this. Hey.
And I'm thinking, you are so nice to everybody. I can get things done. I can get this done.
And I was just literally like
give me the phone.
I'm running away from her, like, and the whole time, like, ma'am, I'm trying to get this worked out. She grabs the phone out of my hand. She goes, let me talk to you. And she tries to get this room. Yes, you were. Something like that. She was very forceful, and she didn't get the room either. So I was like, see? But when she hung up, 5-6 minutes later, I didn't know what I was feeling. I couldn't articulate anything we're articulating now. I didn't know I was feeling disrespected. I didn't know she was not respecting or cheering my abilities that I could get this done. And all I knew is this is what I felt, and I said it out loud real fast. And I said, you know what? Why don't you just cut off my... And I said...
Yep.
5-letter words. Yeah. Plural of... Anyway, so, you know... I just said it, like, and she just, I mean, you just demand me. That's what I felt like. It's like, you just took away my ability to lead you in this situation, and she's just looking at me like, oh, my gosh.
I know. I knew it. This was after all this stuff happened. I'm like, look, I do it again. I'm like this control freak. It was really bad. I mean, it just, as soon as he said it, I thought, you're right. You're so right.
And so we'll end this way.
This is terrible. I can't wait for tomorrow.
The guys are liking it right now, right? You're going to have what we call one-on-one exercises starting tomorrow morning after our session. But if you have time tonight, here's one that I'll give you. But you can really do it tomorrow because we're going to go a little later tonight and you've had a long travel day. But if you'd like to do this, ladies, ask your man to tell you the top three things that makes him feel respected. Just say, honey, what three things? And maybe he can only come up with one or two. And maybe he'll come up with 25. But guys, try and keep it to three. And you may ask follow-up questions. Just help me understand. What do you mean? What's this look like? How do I not do that? How do I do it? It could be a very interesting discussion. You may learn. You may be like, that makes you feel respected? I was sitting at a dinner table one night. I'm not kidding. And Ann, this is when the boys were still in our home, and sat down. And right before we got ready to pray and eat, Ann said, you know what? Before we eat, I just want to say this. She goes, honey. And she turns to me. Our boys are like 13, 15, 17. They're sitting there. She goes, I just want to thank you. Guys, you know what? He works hard. This food was paid by the money he gets paid, or paid for by the money he gets paid at his job. Your dad has three jobs to provide for this family. You are the man. Thank you for working so hard and providing this family. And the boys are like, okay, Mom, are you done? You know, like, we want to eat. And all I knew is this. I'm looking at her like, what are you doing? And I knew she had just read Shanti's book. She's applying this. I'm not kidding. That's what went right through my mind. Like, you just read Love and Respect, and now you're doing the Jay, you're the man. You know, I knew all that, and here's what I can tell you. Guys, am I right? I'm sitting there, and I know she's doing it because she read the book, and all I can feel is my chest is going. I did. It felt so good. I'm like, I am the man, aren't I? By golly, I did provide that food for you right there. What do you guys think of that? I mean, just, I didn't say any of that, but inside I was like, thank you very much, lady. Now let's eat, you know? I did. It just felt so good. And, you know, and all I'm telling you, ladies, is that is because God made your man to be your man. And he longs, whether he'll say it or not, to feel like you. The one he chose to do life with forever is his biggest cheerleader. Because here's the truth. Men are really insecure. I'm talking about me and all men. We put on the facade. We get the arms big. We do everything we can. And I love that. I'm good for you. But I'm saying inside, there's a little boy saying, does anybody think I got what it takes? Even at 53 years old, I'm still wondering, does anybody really think Wilson can bring it? And here's all that matters. What does she think? Because if other people think I can, but she doesn't, it doesn't matter that much. But if this woman, the one I love more than life, doesn't respect me, I feel like a boy. I feel like less of a man. And when she is like, you are the man, it's like, I can conquer the world. God made men that way to need our partner. And guys, this is God's gift to us. Women, you are his gift to cheer him. That happens through the power of God's Holy Spirit in us. He gives us new eyes to see things, see positive things, and then gives us a desire and an ability to say, you are the man. I will follow you. I will live with you. I will respect you. All right, let's pray. Father God, I pray. I know we've been a little hard on wives tonight, but Lord, I do pray that you would minister through your Spirit, that you would speak and empower men and women, husbands and wives, to be the men and the women you've called us to be. And Lord, I pray, even in their times alone tonight, that you would give men the ability to articulate what they feel. Maybe say some things they'd never said before, or say them more clearly so that women can hear. And I pray, Lord, that you would give wives ears to hear their man tonight, and then an ability and a desire to respect them, even if they don't feel it, to give unconditional respect out of the power and out of their walk with Jesus, so that our marriages could reflect, as you said in Ephesians 5, reflect your relationship with your bride, the church. We thank you and we praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Also, I wanted to say to you women, as you kind of talk to your men and maybe ask them, what are your needs, what makes you feel respected, it can take many men up to 24 hours to process, so don't get frustrated. if he can't come up with answers right away.
Thank you, Ann and Dave. Good stuff. As we move into the next section of our night, I love how what their purpose is to make our marriages stronger and to understand on a deeper level. And there's no one stronger than our Lord, and no one more able to take us to a place of greater strength in our marriages. So once again, let's just turn our affections and attentions to Him.